Higher and higher,
be exalted,
be Sunday, snowy Sunday. Thank you for being here. Isaiah 56 says, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep his Sabbaths, the chosen, the things that please him, and take hold of my covenants. Even unto them will I give unto mine house, and with my walls a place and a name. Better than the sons and the daughters will I give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons and the strangers shall join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make their joyful noise in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer unto all people. Whether you're here this morning in a mountain or a valley or a pit, know this. I said, know this. God knows and cares. Allow him to see you through it until your victory comes.
I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how we fight our 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 battles.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I worship your name, Jesus. We worship your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like. So I'm sure that we all view, well, at least I do, when I hear songs, it brings me back to places, or it makes me think of different stories in the Bible. And I know several of us could probably go back to a place where we felt like we are in an impossible situation. And this particular song just reminded me of how Moses and the Israelites had to have felt that day when they were brought out of Egypt to flee from slavery. And they find themselves surrounded by the people that they have been fleeing from, and they had all these promises that God made, and then they look, and there's nothing but water and ocean, and probably half of them didn't even know how to swim, and then all else around them is just the Egyptian army with so much more weapons and force that they could ever even think of. And then they start doubting, you know, why did you bring me here? It's better to be a slave than to die here in the desert, and all these other questions. But one man's faith. Yeah. God made me a promise, and I'm going to hang on to that promise. And then he parted the impossible situation. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful that you know the way maker, the promise keeper? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we always actually got a little excited. Just like the first day I heard Surrounded, I may have run into a mailbox that day because I got, maybe, could have happened. If the ushers want to come, we're going to do this song or get offering first. Get a little excited. I'll pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you so much for all those that are here. I pray, God, that you'll bless this offering and use it for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I worship you.
who you are.
That is 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 who you are. Yes, my God, that is who you are.
You're the Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop,
you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are truly a miracle worker, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're the waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands towards heaven right now? Lord, we worship you. You are the way maker. You can make a way out of no way, God. We thank you, Jesus. We trust you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, you're able, God. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. We serve that kind of God.
Amen.
Exceedingly abundantly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's right that we come together and we celebrate that God.
Yes.
It's right that we come together and we lift our voice and we lift our hands and we clap and we cry and we... all these emotions, it's an expression, an attitude of gratitude that says, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. You're mighty. You're wonderful. You make a way out of no way. You're a healer. You're a help. Hallelujah. I hope that you have been on a daily basis praying after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are you doing it? Is it making a difference? Hallelujah. It's changing my prayer process. As I'm kneeling before God and I'm praying, it's changing and it's expounding. It's just a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful that he gives us after this manner, art ye to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It is an awesome privilege to have my family here in service with us this morning. I want my sister to come. She's going to play and sing here in just a moment. And as she's coming, I'm going to ask my brother-in-law to come and greet this congregation. How long y'all been married now? 10 years. 10 years. Close to 10 years. Okay, he's prophetically speaking. I had the privilege of my very first wedding officiating was my sister and brother-in-law, and they're still together. So that's a good thing.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hey, everybody. Thank you all for warm greetings, and I bring you warm greetings from the state of Sunshine State, Florida. It was rather cool when we were leaving. My wife told the kids Friday before school, enjoy this because this is warm as it's going to be for the next week. And it was freezing to us. It was 48 degrees, and that was cold. But, you know, it's colder up here. But I'm glad I'm up here during the beginning of the winter, not the middle or the end, because we got this light dusting of snow. It's very nice. Looks nice. I always feel like if I'm going to be in the cold, I want to be in the snow, because if it's going to be that cold, it may as well snow so I can have fun with it. Otherwise, it's just really cold, and I'm not a big cold person. I'm very much a Florida boy. I'm born and raised there, and I love it there. But anyhow, I'm happy to be here, happy to be in the house of God. Very grateful to get to spend this time with the family. You know, when they were down home, they lived close, and we saw each other all the time. So, you know, it's tough not seeing them all the time, but I do enjoy it. I'm so happy that I have such a great relationship with my in-laws. I know a lot of people don't get that. And as my wife knows, it's kind of like with me, I'm going to always be there. So it's like you got to like it or lump it. And, you know, luckily they've taken me in and welcomed me. But great to be here and to be in this service with all of you today. And again, I thank you for the warm greetings and the welcome. That's all I got. Thanks.
And how do I follow that, right? So good to be here with you. If only Sandwich and Fruitland Park could be a little bit closer, then I would fellowship with you all the time. It would be wonderful. But it is good to be here, even with the long drive. It is worth it to be with family and to be with church family as well. So it's great to be here. The lesson that Brother Nathan spoke this morning was so good, and it's amazing when the Lord works and when he moves, he just continues to amaze me. Even though I've been raised in this my whole life and I've heard and learned so many things, I am just, sometimes he just continues to marvel me, I guess. That's probably not the right word, but in preparing to possibly sing, the Lord had given me this song, and then he reminded me of a lesson that I had taught our ladies, and it was spectator versus participator. And I have come to know and understand that if we're going to live this life for the Lord, we're going to have to be participators. We can't sit on the sidelines. We've got to do this with our whole hearts. We've got to get in there. And just the scriptures Brother Nathan was using this morning were all in fact, I had been looking at the lesson I had taught just in knowing what I was going to be singing, and same scripture, so I won't use them again, but I just want the Lord to use me. I want him to move through me, as the song I'm about to sing says. And I hope that you can understand these words as I sing them if I get nervous and the words get low and so forth, but just let the message of this minister to you as I worship the Lord. I can't breathe without you. I can't sing without you. I can't be who I'm supposed to be without you. I would stray without you. I would break without you. I would waste all of my days without you. If you wanna move, move through me. If you're gonna move, move through me. Holy Ghost, come down, pour your spirit out. Don't withhold, no. If you wanna move, move through me. If you're gonna move, move through me. Holy Ghost, come down, pour your spirit out. Don't withhold, no. Let the words you've spoken and the cross you've chosen free and bind my life to yours, oh Lord. Let the words you've spoken and the cross you've chosen free and bind my life to yours. This is all I'm asking for. If you're gonna move, move through me. If you wanna move, move through me. The Holy Ghost, come down, pour your spirit out. Don't withhold, no.
If you want to move, move through me. Let me be the channel. Let me be a vessel. Let me be submitted to your will to serve you. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Now you may know why when my daughter gets pretty loud at the house, I tell her the spirit of your Aunt Carrie has come upon you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. We do have peanut brittle for sale. Thank you for those that came up on Thursday night and gathered together and made peanut brittle. Thank you, Brother and Sister Span, for helping us out so much and making that happen. Brother and Sister Grimm for also putting all that together. And I don't know who all was here. And sometimes that's a good thing. I don't need to know. I just know people were here and they made it. And Brother Spencer. Well, I should have known if it had to do with food. Brother Spencer was involved, so... thank you to everybody who made it happen for us. So this is a time of year where it sells so well. So there are plenty of patties that we have made up. Who do they need to see, Sister Grimm? See Sister Grimm if you need to take some and sell it. And so we know how many patties are given out. We have another date on the calendar for another peanut brittle making session. Also at the back, there's a box. It's kind of got blue kind of snowflake looking wrapping paper on it. This is a box for the needy. What we're looking for is like toiletry items, gloves, socks. I was telling Sister Grimm just before service, in all my travels, I have quite a collection of little shampoos and conditioners and soaps. And so I'm going to give all those, and I'm going to be collecting more between now and then, I'm sure. I wish I'd have just stayed collecting the whole time because I'd have quite a large bag full. But if you have anything like this, Ziploc bags, gallon-sized Ziploc bags, what we're endeavoring to do is take a group on December 1st, go into the city, and hand out these bags to those who are needful of these items. And so if you have any questions concerning that, you can see Sister Rose, Sister Grimm. I know there's other people involved in this. So what a good thing for us to do and go and help out those that are in need. So there's a box back there. Please fill it up. And then want to remind you, there is no PM activity tonight, okay? We rescheduled that. So there is, however, a PM activity next Sunday night, okay? So we moved it back. So no PM activity here tonight. However, on Tuesday, we have moved our midweek service back one night. We do not have a Wednesday night service this coming week. We have a Tuesday night service. So asking you to come, a special Thanksgiving service. You've asked numerous times. I thought I had plenty of cards made up, but you guys have overwhelmingly responded. And thank you for that. You have filled out those I Am Thankful For cards. They look like this. I think they're blue now because we ran out of the hard stock white. They're blue, and all you have to do is put, it says, this Thanksgiving I am thankful for. And then you put down what you're thankful for. You can either sign it or you can submit it anonymously. And we will have this on the screen scrolling as we partake of communion on Tuesday night. And so we want you to come. It's going to be a great service. We'll begin with praise and worship. Then we'll have some comments that are made. And then we're going to go into our communion service along with the Thanksgiving card. So fill those out. Put those in the big clear box at the back table. And that will help us out as well. Other things, events happening on the calendar. Obviously, we know this coming week, Thanksgiving, good time with family and friends. Now that you've set for a spell, why don't you get to your feet? Genesis chapter number 13. I don't recall exactly when it happened. I don't know if I was hearing something on the radio. I think it may have happened when I was listening to the Bible that I often do via my app. But as I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I've read the story of Abraham and Lot numerous times, I just felt sometimes you just felt a nudge in the Spirit, and you recognize that there's something you need to pay attention to. What happened? And as I began to listen to the story, I realized there was a portion of the story that I never really grasped before. So that's where I want to draw your attention this morning. Genesis chapter number 13. Begin reading in verse number 7. There was strife. Everybody say strife. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite, Perizzite, dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abraham simply said, now understand, Abraham is the elder. Abraham had every right to choose whatever land he wanted. But he looks to Lot and he says, you choose. If you choose the right, I'll go to the left. If you choose the left, I'll go to the right. You make the choice. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot said, all right, you're going to give me the choice? I don't know, maybe it was a test from Abraham to see what Lot would do. Did he respect his uncle enough to give his uncle the preferred land? But Lot looked out over the land and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He said, man, that's going to be easy living there. Lot said, I'll take that. The Bible says, and so Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. What I felt the Spirit nudge me as I read this story was simply this. Sometimes it's hard to love your lot in life. So I'm going to preach to you on this subject this morning, loving your lot in life. Loving your lot in life. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I'm thankful for your word, which challenges us, God. Let's help us to understand the way in which you work, God, and what you empower us to do, God, that we learn to lean upon you and put our faith and trust in you, God, and those situations, those circumstances, maybe even sometimes people that we have to deal with, God, things that sometimes outside of our control that you have placed in our lives for a reason, God. Lord, help us to learn our love our lot, God, and understand that there is a reason, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning, and you know better than we know, Lord, that we must love, God, and reach out and do what you would have us to do, knowing your will and your way is perfect. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Loving your lot in life. Sometimes it's said in a positive manner, but the majority of the time it is done so with negative connotation. When someone has bad circumstances or has experienced something that is maybe not so advantageous, and someone is dealing with maybe circumstances that aren't good. Maybe they're going through something, or they have situations and circumstances that surround their life, and others looking from the outside may make the comment, well, that's just their lot in life. That's just what they have to deal with. That's in most times, it's the insinuation is it's the short straw. It's the less desirable. It's the circumstances that are not so good. Whatever it is, if you will, it denotes maybe that portion or that part of our life that we have to deal with. Those things and circumstances that aren't altogether good, but yet they are altogether a part of our life. The things that we go through, those portions of life, those things that we deal with, those undesirable circumstances, if you will. Why, God? Why do I have to deal with things or people or circumstances that seem to be a drag and seem to always take my resources? And why, God? Is this my lot in life? Is this what I have to deal with? Is this something that I'm ever going to be relieved of? Or is it just something that will be a part of who I am and a part of what I have to do? Is this my lot in life? Writer of Ecclesiastes had this to say in Ecclesiastes 9. Live joyfully with thy wife, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. It's what you're going to have to deal with. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. What you have now, what you have to deal with now, deal with it. Whatever your portion is, whatever your current lot in life is, well, work at it. Do it with thy might. Make it the very best that it can be. Whatever your portion is, whatever your lot in life is, do it with everything that is within you. Recognize that sometimes when we use the etymology of the phrase, your lot in life really comes from allotment that was made from feudal lords when, in relation to property, when they would conquer a land, when they would go and they would take a territory. Many times they would get those soldiers and warriors who had done great exploits during the fight, and they would give them prime pieces of land, or sometime they would gather them together and they would literally draw straws to see who got what portion. It was all about allotment. It was all about giving a portion. It was almost like many of the warriors would go into battle wanting to do great things and have exploits, because then they could go and they could present themselves as a worthy recipient of a greater lot in life. So we understand and we recognize that it has to do with a portion. It has to do with that we put in, if you will, that we struggle with sometimes, and that we put effort toward. It also in the Bible recognized when it had to do with lots, it had to do with gambling, if you will, or chance. Well, that's just their chance. That's just their lot in life. That's just what they didn't choose those circumstances. They just got them by chance, and now that's their lot in life. I think you get where I'm going. It is that undesirable. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a burden, maybe it's circumstances you didn't choose. But Abraham's lot in life, was a literal person. Abraham's lot in life was a man named Lot. Abraham, the father of the faithful, the great patriarch of faith, the one who left his kindred and his country and went into a land not knowing whither he went. And that Abraham, that great man of faith, the father of the faithful, the ones who we all, those who practice Judaism and those who practice Christianity and even those who practice Islam, they all recognize Abraham as their father. Did you think about that? This great father of the faithful, this great man who we look to in Scripture, as being the one, the Bible tells us that the blessings of the Gentiles, us, would come by way of Abraham. This great man of God, this great man of faith, had a less than desirable lot in life. It just so happened to be his nephew. Just so happened to be this man that seemed like, time and time again, Abraham was having to deal with. Starts, if you will, in where we read for our text, where the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham are arguing. There's strife between them. And Lot doesn't come to Abraham and say, hey, how can we work this out? Lot doesn't come to Abraham and say, hey, there's strife and something needs to happen. The Bible lets us know that Abraham comes to Lot. Abraham says, hey, let there be no strife between me and thee. Almost as if Lot was okay with it. Almost as if Lot was just allowed, it's okay to just continue. But Abraham says, no, let there be no strife between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. And so here's, I'm going to acquiesce, if you will. I'm going to allow you to choose where you want to go. All this land is before us, but you choose. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Whatever you want, Lot. Lot lifts up his eyes and he sees the well-watered plains of Jordan and says, hey, I'll take that. You're giving me the right to choose? Well, I choose that. I choose that good land. What Lot should have done, what would have been proper and right, was for Lot to defer to Abraham and say, no, uncle, you are the elder, and you are the one. I am submitted to you. You choose, and whichever way you go, I will go the other. It's almost as if in his arrogance, Lot decides, well, all right, uncle's going to give me the shot. I'm going to take it. Sometimes we deal with those kind of people in life who it seems like we should get treated differently than what we do. We shouldn't have to put up with some of the stuff we put up with. We're the peacemaker. We want things to work out, and we don't want there to be strife. And so we acquiesce, and we make the exception, and we if you will, capitulate, and we want there to be reconciliation, but they just want to do their thing. Dealing with the lot. The stress, the complications, the troubles that pertain to our lot in life. For Abraham, it was a literal person, but for you and I, it could be any undesirable thing that we have to deal with. Anything that seems to be always taking our resources, things that we're taking care of, maybe it's people, maybe it's relationships. We're always doing the work, and we're always putting forth the effort, and we're always trying to make it right. It's as if the other doesn't care. Stay with me. We even find that at one point, kings come against Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 14, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishcol, the brother of Ammar. And these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Sodom and Gomorrah gets besieged. Captured, and all their goods, and all their victuals, and all the goods, even Lot. One gets away and comes running to Abram at the time and says, hey, Sodom and Gomorrah have been taken. And Lot, your nephew's with him. All his goods and everything. And you would think, logic says, Abraham looks at the dude and says, serves him right. He chose to go there. He chose to affiliate and align himself with those people. He chose. That's where he chose to go. That's what he chose to do. He made his bed. Now I can lie in it. Ever heard of that? What does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't say Abraham doesn't put any objection at all. He gets all of his servants. He's sacrificing his whole household, if you will. He gets them all together. 318 of them. Says, hey, we're going after them. Abraham, you're really having to deal with this lot in life, aren't you? Yes, I am. And I'm just not letting him go away. I'm going to go get him. Come on, Abraham. Here's a chance. Here's a chance for your lot in life to go. And you're chasing him down? And here's what the Bible says. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. See, it had to have been that though Abraham had this undesirable lot in life, he still loved him. He still was willing to go get him. Still willing to come back. Even though it took Abraham's resources to make this happen, and even though the king of Sodom comes and says, hey, whatever you want, you can take it. It's your spoils. You came and you delivered us. And Abraham said, I don't want anything from you. Think about what Abraham's saying. I've expended myself. I've put my own resources at risk. I've gone above and beyond what anybody would expect from me. And if anybody had a right to say, yeah, I want this, 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 and this, and I want you to give me that, and I want, he said, no, I don't want any of it. Only thing we're going to let these others who have, let them take, but not me. I don't want anything from them. The only thing I want from my guys is just what they've taken and consumed as far as food and that sort of, that's it. We don't want anything else. Man, Abraham, you're taking this loving your lot in life pretty serious. Yeah. He did. But let me tell you what else has happened. The Bible tells us in Genesis 14 to 18, when Abraham refuses to be blessed by the king of Sodom, refuses even though he's expended his resources, something pretty great happened. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham is blessed because he's learning to love his lot in life. Abraham is blessed because when he could have gotten rid and he could have just said, let Lot fend for himself and let Lot lie in his own bed that he's made, Abraham instead is learning to love his lot in life. And as a result, God says, I'm going to bless you. Yes, the situations are undesirable. Yes, the circumstances that you have to go through are not so good, but bless you because you are loving your lot in life. Genesis chapter 19 recalls what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, the aftermath. Verse number 27 of chapter 19, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Sounds to me like Abraham had a morning devotion. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Understand, before this happens, it is Abraham who barters with God. It is Abraham who is trying, Lord, if I find but 50 righteous people, would you not destroy it? Lord, if I find, and he goes all the way down, and he's trying, he's bartering with God, and because of the righteousness of Abraham, the Lord is willing, says, yes, Abraham, yes. I will. Find even the few. Now Abraham looks out over Sodom and Gomorrah, the place. So it sounds to me, catch this, if this is the place where he stood before the Lord, and it seems like he did it on a very frequent basis, maybe every morning, this is where he walked, and this is where, think about what he's looking over. He's looking over his lot in life. He's looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And maybe every morning, just like Job offered for his sons and daughters, maybe Abraham is offering for Lot. He's loving his lot in life. And even though Lot has made bad choices, and even though Lot has affiliated himself with bad people, and even though Lot sits at the gate of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham still wakes up early in the morning and goes to the place where he stands before the Lord and he looks. No, many of us know the story of what happened in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels went to take Lot and his family. What a horrible place. What a horrible place. The Bible says it vexed Lot's righteous soul. Now Abraham looks out over Sodom and Gomorrah, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, catch this, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. You know what saved Lot? Abraham. You know what saved Lot? Abraham's love for Lot. Because the Bible specifically says that when God went to destroy the cities of the plains, he remembered Abraham. He sent Lot out. So the only reason why Lot was saved is because Abraham knew how to love his Lot in life. When we love our Lot in life, God will rescue from destruction. We learn it's not easy. They take resources, situations undesirable. Lord, let me learn to love my Lot in life. Here's a conclusion, and I'm quickly coming to a close. Lot flees Zoar. He refuses to flee to Zoar, where God had directed him, and he goes to a mountain, and there, the Bible lets us know that what his daughters had been exposed to and seen in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they do a very dark thing. The Bible tells us that his daughters, the same daughters who Lot had offered to the men who came, these same daughters conspire and say, hey, let us have our father partake of wine so that he will become intoxicated, and then let us lie with him that he will give us seed. And Lot has incestual relations with both of his daughters. Logic in our mind says, Abraham, why did you just let Lot go? Why did you love your Lot in life so much? This man fleeing a city of debauchery commits debauchery soon after he's fled. This man who has been so, if you will, corrupted and vexed by what he exposed himself and his family to now commits incest with his own daughters. And the Bible lets us know that the sons born to his daughters become enemies of the Israelites from then on. They are the fathers of the Moabites and the Ammonites. Abraham, why did you love your Lot in life so much? You just let things go. If you wouldn't have went after him, you wouldn't have tried to. If you had just loved your Lot in life a little less, you wouldn't have Moabites and Ammonites, and we're going to have to fight them all the time. And now it's become our lot in life. Now we got to fight the Moabites and we got to fight the Ammonites. Come on, Abraham. Why did you love your Lot in life? What good came out of it? I'm glad you asked the question. Because in this book of the Bible titled after a woman, Ruth 4 and 10 says, moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth, the one who we have the story of the Redeemer, and Ruth and Boaz, the one, the picture of God, the Redeemer for humanity, that beautiful play, if you will, that is, it is there upon the scriptures of this wonderful woman who would not leave her mother-in-law Orpah and said, no, let your God be my God. Whither you go, I will go. She was a Moabite. Now maybe we can understand a little more why Abraham loved his Lot in life. Because I read to you the lineage of Jesus. Matthew 1:5. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. Hear that? Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, Moabitess. Ruth, whose lineage traces back to Lot in an ancestral relation with his daughter. That Lot that Abraham learned to love, that Lot that Abraham put a lot of resources in, that Lot that Abraham bartered for his soul, that Lot that God saved because he remembered Abraham. Why would you love your Lot in life? Because God knows better than we know. It's hard. It's difficult. You mean I gotta love that person? Yes! Because you never know what will come out of it. You can't see the end from the beginning. You mean I got to deal with these circumstances? Yes! Love your lot in life. Because one day, maybe from them comes something that will save. Do you understand that I'm the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is Ruth. And Ruth is there because Abraham loved his lot in life. You can stand to your feet. How do I do it? How do I put up with this? How do I endure these circumstances? Pastor, this is my lot in life. I recognize it now. I have this. What do I do? How do I deal with it? How do I go forward? It's my lot in life. It's undesirable circumstances. It's not what I want to have to deal with. It's not what I want to have to go through. Lord, help me to lean upon you. Help me to trust in you. Help me that through my walk and relationship with you to have the power to love my lot in life. To put up with the undesirable circumstances. To expend my resources to go and get them and bring them back. And barter for their soul and pray for them and intercede for them. And when I get up in the morning and I go to the place where I talk with you, let me talk about their well-being. Let me talk about blessings in their life. And even though they do these things and even though they have these things and they're affiliated with these things, Lord, let me love my lot in life. Because only you know. Only you know. So I'm not going to lean upon my own understanding. I'm not going to trust my logic. I'm not going to try to analyze it. I'm just going to learn to love my lot in life. Because you know. You know what will come of it. You know what happens down the road. You know that one day there will be a young lady who's gleaning in the field, and she will catch the eye of a man named Boaz, and he will redeem her, and they will have children, and in that lineage and in that line will be one of the greatest kings of Israel, David, and furthermore will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I don't know how to do it in myself. I don't know how to love when these situations are so undesirable and the circumstances I have to deal with. I just have to learn to lean upon you. And I'm finding the power to make the choices of loving my lot in life. These altars are open as we sing this old song of the church. Pastor, I learned to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean.
Christ I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
It's only by you, Jesus. It's only by your help that I can love my Lord and life.
To lean on Jesus, I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Set broken hearted at an altar.
More power, more.
Joseph had jealous brothers. Daniel had princes and rulers despised. David had a jealous king who sought to take his life. Throughout the pages of the Bible, you will find that great men had to deal with some pretty adverse lots in life. That they learned how to love them. Lord, help me. Lord, in the final moments of this service, Lord, I don't know every individual situation, circumstances, but I do know enough to know that we all have our lots in life. Help us to love our lot. To know that your way far exceeds our own. To trust you. To learn to lean upon you. To find your power, your love to extend into those who are our lots in life. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your good word. Go with us from this place today and help us to love our lots in life. In Jesus' name we ask it.
Yes.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May God in Jesus' name.